As you read through the Gospels, you may start to get the sense that Jesus didn't necessarily want a lot of disciples. We know famously of the 12, which if you consider the number of people that followed him around is a pretty small number. And there are only a few more that are named, so maybe 15 or so are the ones we know of specifically. So we start to get the sense that maybe Jesus didn't want a lot of disciples. Even when others would come to him and say that they wanted to follow him, he would often have something challenging or even cryptic to say to them. When one came and said, "Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you go," he said, "Birds of the air have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head." A little cryptic. Another man came to him and said, "Jesus, I want to follow you, but first let me bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. Come, follow me." Another came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I want to follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." And Jesus said to him, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then turns back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." So we start to get the sense that Jesus may not have wanted to have a lot of disciples. A story is told of a guru who lived in a cabin in the mountain in an isolated place, and of another man who heard that he was so learned he wanted to become his disciple, and so he traveled to this cabin in the mountains, and he knocked on the door, and the guru answered and said, "What is it that you want?" And the man said, "I want to be your disciple." And the guru slammed the door in his face. The next day, the man came back and he knocked on the door again, and the guru said, "What do you want?" And the man said, "I want to be your disciple." And the guru spit in his face and slammed the door. And the third day, the man knocked on the door, and the guru answered and said, "What do you want?" And the man said, "I want to be your disciple." And the guru struck him with a rod and slammed the door. And on the fourth day, the man came and he knocked on the door, and the guru answered and said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to be your disciple." And the guru said, "Finally, I know you are sincere." You start to get this sense as you read through the Gospels that Jesus didn't want a lot of disciples. And that wasn't uncommon in those days. Rabbis and other religious leaders tended to be pretty strict gatekeepers about who it was that they let follow them, learn from them, take under their wing. Jesus was perhaps no different in this way. Another story is told of a young American man who wanted to become a Buddhist monk. And so he sold everything that he owned, he traveled to Tibet, and he made his way to a Buddhist monastery, and he met with the abbot there and explained to the man that he wanted to become a Buddhist monk. And the abbot said to him, "Well, if you want to do that, you must first spend 7 years in silence, and then you can speak two words." And so the man spent the next 7 years living and working in the monastery without saying a single word. And at the end of those 7 years, he met with the abbot, and the abbot met with him and said, "You now have two words to say. What would you like to say?" And the man said, "Cold breakfast." So the abbot asked him, "Would you like to continue in your training to become a monk?" And the man nodded, and he said, "Okay, well, that will be another 7 years of silence, after which you will be allowed to speak two words." And the man nodded. And so another 7 years passed. 14 years this man spent not speaking and working and living in the monastery. At the end of those 14 years, he met with the abbot again, and the abbot explained, "You now have the opportunity to speak two words. What would you like to say?" And the man said, "Hard bed." The abbot explained to him, "Well, would you like to continue to become a monk?" And the man nodded, and he said, "Well, that will be another 7 years of silence, after which you will get two words to speak. Are you still interested in learning how to become a Buddhist monk?" And the man nodded, and so started this third seven-year stretch. 21 years this man spent in silence, until he met at the end of those years with the abbot. And the abbot asked him if he had two words he would like to say, and he said, "I quit." And the abbot looked at him and said, "I can't say that I'm surprised. You've done nothing but complain since you got here." We may get the sense, reading through the scriptures, that Jesus didn't necessarily want to have a large group of disciples. But then we come to the passage for today in Luke, where Jesus calls forth 70, not 12, 70 disciples, and turns them into apostles. The difference being disciples are students, apostles are those who are sent out. And he sends them out in sort of a reverse Noah and the Ark, two by two, 35 pairs. And he gives them some specific instructions as they set out into this mission. Now, Jesus was rather popular, we know, even though a lot of what he had to say was very challenging. And so that might be surprising that 70 people were willing to go do the things that Jesus was asking them to do when it required so much of them. But maybe it shouldn't be so surprising, because I think it is true that people are willing to rise to a challenge if it's presented to them from someone who they admire or someone they want to emulate. And that's what Jesus was to them. For those people, I think, knew. They expected that the God of the universe would expect a lot from them. And so Jesus sends them out two by two, and first he tells them, don't take anything with you. Take just the bare essentials. Don't do what the Hoffmans do and take five times more than you need when you go on vacation. Take just what you need and expect that wherever you go, the people will provide for you. Trust. Trust in me and trust in them. And wherever you go, whatever town you enter into, don't go from house to house to house looking for the nicest place and the most comfortable accommodations. Don't look for the biggest TV and the comfiest couch. Whatever house you enter and they return the peace to you, that's where you stay. Because we don't want anybody to get the idea that we are making socioeconomic differences in the name of God. So whether it's a straw mattress on the floor or the sleep number bed that's set to your perfect sleep number, stay there. And whatever it is they give you to eat, eat it. Don't look down at your plate and say, oh, really, lentils again? And why? Why eat what is given to you? Because sometimes you are going to be served Jewish food. Kosher food, the kind of meal that your mother made at home that reminds you of her and of that special place. But sometimes it's going to be Gentile food. It's going to be the kind of food that you would have never imagined would cross your lips. Because we don't want anybody to get the sense that we're making racial, ethnic, or national differences in the name of God. So that whether you end up in a mansion or in a shed down the street, or whether you end up eating at the soup kitchen or at King's Contrivance three times a day, be where you are. Preach to those people and be grateful for what you have. And wherever you go, share the same message. The kingdom of God is near. For love and grace incarnate have come to you in the person of Jesus Christ, and that is good news. But Jesus warned them. He said, some will reject you. And so they said, Jesus, what do we do if they reject us? And he said, abide by that ancient custom of wiping the dust off of your feet, saying to them that they are being left to God and to God's judgment, and you are moving on to where God is calling you next. Take no more time with them and move on. But Jesus, what if they say no? And Jesus said, it doesn't matter if they say yes or they say no. That's up to God. You are to scatter the seed on good soil and on rocky soil. And amongst the thorns and weeds, you are the scatterer. God is the one who will provide the harvest. So whether they say yes or no, that doesn't matter to you. Take the message to the people. But Jesus, what if they reject it? And Jesus said to them, whether they reject it or accept it, the message is the same. If they reject it, you say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. And if they accept it, you say, the kingdom of God has come near. And you have the same response because I want you to understand that your message and your life and your behavior and your relationships, those are not to be determined by other people. You are a child of God. Remember what was told you. If someone speaks to you and then you speak to them, what is that to you? Even the pagans do that. If they're nice to you and then you're nice to them, what is that? If they're generous and you're generous, if they invite you and then you invite them, what is that? For you are called to be as God. The same God who makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And why? Because God is love. And when love faces rejection, it does not respond by saying, well, if you're going to act like that. Because hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. So that if you are rejected, your message is the same. God loves you. And isn't that good news? You see, I think that might be the most difficult part of being a disciple and an apostle, is knowing that we are likely to be rejected. And maybe even having a sense of who it is that will reject us and still being called to take the message of God's kingdom drawing near to those who will accept and those who will reject. To those in the fancy houses, to those in the smaller homes, to those who eat minimally and those who eat luxuriously. We're called to all alike the same message day in and day out, never knowing what the fruits of our labor might be. You see, when we are called to be disciples of Jesus, we are called at the same time to be apostles. Our Jesus doesn't sit in a cabin in the mountains or in a monastery in Tibet. Our Jesus was and is always on the move. And if we are to be disciples of the one who is always on the move, we too are called to always be on the move. Taking the message of the kingdom drawing near and the person of Jesus Christ to every town and every place. Preparing the way, if you will, for the one who will come after. The one who will reap the harvest of the seed that has been sown and that has grown. You as a disciple and me as a disciple. You as an apostle and me as an apostle. You know, if you read through the Gospels, you may get the sense that Jesus didn't really want a lot of disciples. But then again, here we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.